When God calls his people, they believe on him. They come to Christ and they believe on him. When God effectually calls his people, he said, I will say to them, which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. That'll be the effectual result, because God's call is always effectual. When he calls, his people come. Now, these elect were God's called people from eternity, but in the secret purpose of God only. God had not made it clear yet, except for places like Hosea. Now, God did tell the children of Israel through his prophets, he did tell them, I have an elect people that are the Gentiles. And so this was not a new thing. God didn't just give up on Israel and say, well, I'll turn now and I'll choose out some people from the Gentiles. No, God had an elect people among the Gentiles all along. And he's making it known through Hosea. And Paul is telling us now when he says, even us, not only of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also, he goes back to Hosea and he says, see here, God spoke of this back way back there with the Old Testament prophets, saying he was going to call his people. He was going to call his people. We don't know who the elect of God are, just like Israel didn't know. We don't know who they are. God has to call his people. And when he calls you and brings you to Christ and brings you to believe on Christ, that's when you learn that you're an elect child of God. The only way God's elect are proven is through faith in Christ. He brings them to believe on Christ. And that's the vessels of mercy are those God calls to faith in Christ. God said plainly, he said, I'll say, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And then, back in Romans 9, concerning the elect Gentiles, Paul quotes Hosea again. He says in Romans 9:26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, Paul's quoting from Hosea chapter 1, and it says this, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. This is Hosea 1:10. He says, there'll be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So you got all these sons of Israel more than the sand of the sea. And then God turns and he begins to call out his elect from among the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul preached this word of Hosea to the Gentiles when he went to Corinth. God had said, he said, in the place where they said, you're not my people, there shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. And Paul went to Corinth, and he's preaching the gospel to them, and he gives God's promise. He said, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what God said through Hosea. And so Paul goes to these Gentile Corinthians, and he preached that word of promise to them. And through that gospel, God did what he promised. He called some of them out, and he was a father to them, and he made them sons and daughters unto him. This is the gospel that God's going to send to all his elect. It's the promise God has made. That's what the gospel is. It's the promise of God that he's made concerning his vessels of mercy, concerning his elect, who he shall call out. And he'll be a father to us, and we'll be sons and daughters to him by his grace, by what he works in his people. Now the question is, do you hear that call this morning? God is saying through the gospel, come out. Come out. He never tells his people, go in amongst and stay there and dwell amongst the unbelieving rebels against God. He always says, come out from among them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Do you hear him this morning? He says, come out. Come out. Believe on Christ. If God calls you, you're coming. If he calls you, you'll come out. So we see here God, he used all his Old Testament prophets to declare what he would do. There's nothing new with God. God had not made it known clearly in the sense that he had called out his elect Gentiles yet, but he was saying all along through his prophets that he had an elect people among the Gentiles. That's you and me. You and I are Gentiles. We're not children of Israel. We're not natural sons, naturally speaking, of Abraham. We're called out from among the Gentiles. That's us, brethren. Now, secondly, I want you to see who these vessels of wrath are who are fitted for destruction. Who are these rebels that God simply put up with? That's what he's saying. God, what if God endured? What if he just put up with these vessels of wrath fitted for destruction so that he could show his vessels of mercy, his riches, and his grace in calling you out? You realize what a blessing God's given you this morning to be sitting under the preaching of the gospel where you're hearing the word of God preached, and we're just going verse by verse and seeing what God says and hearing God's word. You know what a blessing that is? You know what they're doing in most places? They read a passage of scripture, and then the preacher gets up and preaches on current events, or he gets up and preaches some moral fable like Aesop's fables, and just gives you some moralism, and you go out saying, okay, I'm going to try to live like that this week. And by Monday morning, you figured out you failed. So you don't ever have any peace. You come back again next week, hear what you're supposed to do, and you go out and try to do it, you never have peace. You go back, it's just a cycle of fear and bondage over and over and over. You've been brought here to hear what God's doing, how God determined the end from the beginning, how God determined what he would do and who he would do it for and how he would do it, and to know that God brings it all to pass exactly according to his purpose. There's nothing out of the purpose of God. So who are these vessels of wrath? Verse 27. He quotes Isaiah. He says, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. God said through Isaiah that most of the children of Abraham, most of the children of Israel, were not his elect. He said that way back there through Isaiah, that most of the people in Israel would die and perish due to their own rebellion against Christ. That's what God declared. They had God's word. That's not enough. You've got God's word. That's not enough. You have to believe God. They had the law. That's not enough. You got to hear what the law says about you. Guilty. Guilty. The law says you need Christ. You got to hear what the law says. They didn't hear it. They had the prophets. That's not enough just to come and sit and hear God's preacher. You got to hear what he's preaching in your heart. And you got to believe on the one he's preaching, Christ the Lord. You have to believe on Christ. But among those natural sons of Israel, God had an elect remnant. A remnant. A remnant, you know, is just a, maybe you've got someplace at home where you've got those old rags that aren't worth anything, and you just kind of throw them over in the corner so if you ever need them one day, you got them. Those are just the remnants that are left from the cloth. They're the remnants. That's what God's people are, just a remnant. Just a remnant that God's going to keep, that God's going to save. Not worthy in ourselves, not any good in ourselves, but God chose us, and we're his remnant, and God's going to save us. Go over to Isaiah 10, verse 20. Isaiah 10, 20. And look here in verse 20. It shall come to pass in that day, he's speaking of the day of Christ, that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but they'll stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant shall return. Now listen to this. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. That's what Paul said that when he quoted this, was he said, God's going to make a short work. He's going to cut it short in righteousness. What he's saying is God had declared all along that he would righteously destroy the nation of Israel due to their rejection of Christ. All along, God said, there's coming a consumption. There's coming a destruction. The Apostle Paul saw that destruction coming. In the beginning of Romans 9, he said, if I could take the place of my brethren according to the flesh, I would. And he's talking about, if I could be the one to undergo this destruction in the nation, I would do it for them. But they fixed to be destroyed. This whole nation's fixed to be destroyed. Why? Because they rejected Christ. And God said this all along through his prophets. He said in Isaiah 6:11, he sent Isaiah and he said, go forth and preach this gospel. And Isaiah said, Lord, how long? He said, till the cities be wasted without inhabitant, till the houses are without man, and till the land be utterly desolate. He said in Isaiah 8:8, he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach to the neck, the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. He's talking about judgment. He said in Isaiah 27:10, the defense city, Jerusalem, that was that great defense city, shall be destroyed, and the habitation forsaken and left like a wilderness. And there shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. Remember, and then he gave this prophecy, and Christ preached on this. He said, when the boughs thereof are withered, when the branches are broken off, the women come and they set them on fire, for it's a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them. He that formed them will show them no favor. God made that nation Israel. He made it as a picture of his spiritual elect Israel. He made it to show how that he calls out his remnant and he saves his remnant from scattered throughout this world. Just as God saved a remnant in Israel, God's saving a remnant in this whole world that are his elect. But the rest of those in Israel who rejected Christ, God promised all along, there's coming a day when I'm going to be finished with my work with this nation Israel, and I'm going to destroy it, and I'll be done with it. And I'm not going to show them any favor just because they're natural sons of Abraham. And the bigger picture is this. There's coming a day when God's going to destroy this whole world, when he's finished with it. He created this world just like he created Israel. He did it to show how he saves his people. And when he saved his people out of it and he's done with it, he's going to destroy this world just like he destroyed Israel in 70 A.D., and people are going around preaching, oh, God's going to save Israel just because they're the sons of Abraham. No, they're not. That's a lie. That's not the gospel. That's the preaching of works. He doesn't save anybody because you're the sons of some man. He saves his people because he chose his people and he brings us to believe on Christ. That's why he saves his people, how he saves his people. He's going to finish the work, and when he does, he's going to cut it short. And he's going to cut it short in righteousness. That means he's going to consume and destroy, just like he destroyed Israel. He did it in righteousness. It was the right thing to do. And one day he's going to destroy this world, and it's going to be the right thing to do. Turn over to Isaiah 28. I want you to see this one. God promised he's going to destroy the false preachers in Israel because they're preaching lies against Christ. And he promised he's going to destroy all in Israel who didn't believe on Christ. Look here in Isaiah 28, verse 14. It's just kind of lengthy. I want to read this whole passage to you. He says in verse 14, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. Scornful men are those that won't believe on Christ. Scornful men are those that reject Christ, those that find some reason to leave his gospel and leave his people and leave his Christ and won't believe the gospel. They're scornful men. And he said, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, you've said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. Now, I'll say what I said to you when I preached from this a couple years ago. They didn't say that with their lips. You don't hear people in religion going around, we've made a covenant with death, we've made a covenant with hell. But God said that's what you're saying when you say you're saved by your works. You're saying, I've made my covenant with death and hell. They're not going to touch me because of what I've done. Look what God said. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, God said, because of your rebellion, he said, I'm going to send the touchstone. I'm going to send the touchstone. I'm going to determine who are mine and who are not. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'll lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. That's Christ. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He won't be afraid when the judgment comes. Not at all. He's resting in Christ. But that same Christ and that same gospel is judgment to others. Look, verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lives, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death and hell shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. It shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in. Christ is a bed you can stretch out on. Christ is a place you can rest. Because when you're wrapped up in his righteousness, you got full covering. But if you're trying to come to God by your works, that's a bed that's too short, and that's a covering that's too narrow. Look, he says, verse 21, the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, bring to pass his act, his strange act. That's judgment. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers. You hear God now. Don't be mockers. Don't stand back and say, yeah, sure, that's what God's going to do. That's what men say by not believing Christ. Lest your bands be made strong, lest you be bound in that unbelief. For I've heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken, hear my speech. And I say what Isaiah said, don't be a mocker of God. Don't you hear this. And come to Christ now. Believe on Christ now. There's destruction's coming. Those people Paul preached this to, his kinsman after the flesh, he said this same thing Isaiah said. This destruction's coming. God's going to cut this work short. You got a short amount of time on this earth, Israel, and God's fixing to wipe you off the map. And I'm standing here today telling you the same exact thing. You got a short time, and God's fixing to fold this world up, and it's going to be over with. And you know what the children of Israel did when Paul preached that? They did what Israel did when Isaiah preached it. They did what men do today when they hear it. They mocked God. Said, I don't believe it. I don't believe God. I went back, I was looking over those notes that I preached from those passages in Isaiah back in 2009. And as I was reading over that, I was reading how God he was using Assyria in Isaiah's day, and he was bringing Assyria in and purging out a bunch of the children of Israel with the Assyrian. And through that, using providence to do that, God said, now I'm going to do this with the whole nation one day. And then in Paul's day, he used the enemy, and he was saying, I'm fixing to destroy it. And that's what he's telling us today. He's going to destroy it. And I thought as I read that about Assyria, and I was reading over those notes, and I began to think, God does this with the local church, doesn't he? I thought about, there were many that were there in 2009 when I preached that aren't here today. They aren't with us today. And I thought of the ones that have come in and listened a little while and went out. I don't care what a man's excuse is. I don't care what anybody gives as an excuse. There is no excuse for leaving the gospel of Christ. I wouldn't stand here and preach to you if I didn't know 100% that I'm preaching the truth to you. And I'm preaching the truth to you. And any man that can walk away from this has taken the first step in apostasy. I guarantee that. You say, well, that's arrogancy. No more arrogant than John that said, we know we're of the truth, and this whole world lies in wickedness. If you know God, you know that. That's just fact. And I know that. And God uses whatever he uses, but he purges out those that are not his elect who rebel, and they always find something, some excuse to leave the gospel. I don't like the curtains you picked out. Okay, well, go. You ain't worthy to be here anyway. That's just fact. I don't have time, and I'm not called to pamper sinners on their way to hell. I'm called to tell the truth to sinners. Well, preacher, you preaching to me? Yeah, I sure am. Hear what I'm saying. I sure am preaching to you. Hear it. And if it's God's word and it cuts against your flesh and it's offensive to you, there's a reason for that. You're walking contrary to God. But hear God and bow to God's word. Don't just say, well, the preacher's trying to get at me. Don't exalt yourself to the point that you think that all I do is sit in my study and think, how can I preach against him? I don't do that. I don't have time to do that. I want to preach a word to God's people. I don't have time to, and besides that, I don't know what you need. I don't know what to preach to you. I don't know how to be offensive to you other than to preach the truth. And that won't be offensive to God's people. But I'm not sitting there just trying to figure out a way I can be offensive to somebody. I'm just preaching what God gives me in a text to preach. If a man's offended, God's offended him. That's just fact. And if he can walk away from this gospel, ooh, I'd be afraid. And you know, the sad thing is, you sinners hear this and they hear it, just like they heard Isaiah preach it, they heard Paul preach it. Sinners hear this and they hear this and they say, amen, and I know that, and I understand that. And then one day, they do the very thing they've been warned against. I tell you, brethren, that ought to make me and you hit our face and say, God, keep me. Because I'm telling you, you can walk out of here, God take his hand off you, you'll be gone. I need God to keep me. I need God to hold his hand on me and keep me looking to Christ and away from myself and away from everything else. I need him to make me hear this gospel. So do you, brethren. So here's the point. God has an elect remnant today. He's going to save them through the preaching of Christ crucified, the sure foundation. But this same gospel is going to be a savor of death unto death unto some. This same gospel, Christ is going to be the determining factor. Sooner or later, everybody that hears this gospel is going to hear it. And some's going to hear it in grace, and they're going to bow and rejoice. Others are going to hear it, and it's going to come as judgment. And it's going to start sweeping away their refuge of lies. It's going to start tearing down all their false refuge. And they're going to start being exposed as being naked on a bed that's too short. And when that happens, here's what happens. They start trying to find fault with the preacher. They start trying to find fault with the brethren. They start trying to find fault with the building. They want to find fault with anything they can find fault with. So like the Pharisees did, they can look at Christ and go, see, he's the reason we're not believing on him. You got no excuse. You got no excuse. You can't use anybody else's rebellion to justify your rebellion. You can't use anybody else's sin. If you did catch somebody in sin and you said, well, see, that's the reason I'm leaving, that don't justify your leaving. We have no justification for leaving Christ, period. But see, what's happened is that refuge, that hail's come and it's sweeping away the refuge of lies. And when that happens, a drowning man is a desperate man. He'll drown those trying to save him. So here's the last thing. Contrary to the objections of rebels, God's electing grace is cause for rejoicing. Look here. Verse 29, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, had left us a seed, and except he had chosen a people, we had been as Sodom and been like to Gomorrah. Isaiah looked around, and he saw what God was going to do, and he said, there's not any difference in me than in those people that are perishing. There's no difference in any of these elect people that God saved and the people that are perishing. There's no difference in any of us in ourselves. Except the Lord had chosen a people. Except the Lord had given his people to Christ. Except the Lord had sent Christ to redeem his people and work out a righteousness for it. Except the Lord viewed his people in Christ as vessels of mercy, afore prepared unto glory. Except the Lord had done it. He would have destroyed us back there when Adam sinned in the garden. And he'd already wiped us off the map today, except God's got an elect people in this world. And he's going to save them. One of these days, brethren, he's going to call the last one. And it's going to be over then. One of those days there, Paul, Peter, one of them, somebody preached, and God called out the last elect child out of Israel. And in 70 AD, God said, I'm finished. The work's finished. He called, whistled for the fly, just like he said he would in Isaiah. And here come the king of Rome in there with the Roman army and wiped Israel off the map. Well, Israel's there today. God said, they can rebuild it, but I'll throw it down. Read Isaiah. It's exactly what he said. They said, we can build it back better than it was before. God said, they'll build it with hewn stones. I'll throw it down. Why has there been nothing but war and trouble the whole time since 1942 or whenever? God said, I'll throw it down. And people holding on to Israel today, treating Israel like it's a lucky rabbit's foot. Oh, don't hurt that nation. Oh, that's our four-leaf clover. God said, I'm finished with them. I'm done with it. But God still has an elect people. He still has an elect people scattered to the four winds, and he's calling them. And when they're all called in, that's when all Israel's going to be saved. All spiritual Israel, all true Israel. When he's called the last from out of this world, then all Israel will be saved. By his grace, by his mercy, by the blood of Christ, by the Spirit of God, not of our works. All of God. If God hadn't left us a seed, we would not have any hope whatsoever. So you see, brethren, election doesn't close the door to salvation. Election opens the door to salvation. If God hadn't chosen elect seed, we'd have been gone a long time ago. But he's saving his people for Christ's sake because he has an elect people in this world. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your electing grace. Oh, how great a debtor daily we're constrained to be. Lord, don't let us ever leave Christ. Keep us bound to him. Keep us looking to him only. Keep us resting in him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray that those that err from the truth and err from where your gospel is preached, we pray, Lord, that they not be apostate. We pray, Lord, if it's your will, that you be keeping them, and we know you will. We know you'll bring your people back just like you brought the Apostle Peter, brought him back and used him mightily after he went out. And Lord, keep your people separated. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us for looking to the works of our hands and to the natural flesh and thinking that you would save just because somebody's a natural son. Don't let us fall into that. Keep us looking to Christ only. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.